Good morning, Sovereign Grace Church. I trust that everyone is doing well and enjoying the grace of God. This morning, we're going to be taking a look at Philippians chapter 2, just two verses this morning, verses 12 and 13. So would you please read along with me? Here's the reading of the Lord's Word. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. God, I thank you for technology like this as well, where we get to gather as a church in various ways, but come together and hear your word preached. And we just ask that you would pour out your spirit upon us, Lord. I ask that you would pour out your spirit upon those who are watching this video. And Lord, you would soften their hearts, that they would receive your word and they would be changed by it. Lord, I ask that you would cause us to grow as your people, that you would help us to be men and women and children who just love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Lord, that we would be men, women, and children who work hard at working out our own salvation, just knowing, Lord, having a confidence that you are at work in us as we do this, that it's your power, that it's your mercy, that it's your grace, it's your spirit that is empowering us to do the things that you have called us to do. So Lord, please accomplish your good purposes through this message, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, when I was growing up, the only thing that I really wanted to be was a professional athlete. And I say professional athlete because it changed for me depending on the sport that I was playing. So if I was in baseball season, I wanted to be a professional baseball player. When I was playing basketball, I wanted to be a professional basketball player. When I was playing football, I wanted to be a professional football player. I just loved sports. I loved competing. I loved what I thought was working hard at getting better at these sports. And all I wanted to be was a professional athlete. And I played a lot of sports. And during the summers, my dad would send me to sports camps to get better and probably just to keep me occupied, which I'm extremely grateful for. But there was this one camp that I went to. It was a football camp, and this camp brought in an ex-NFL football player to talk to us, to inspire us, to challenge us. And I distinctly remember this time listening to this man speak, because he gathered the entire camp. We were all sitting there on the floor, and he was talking about all of his wonderful experiences. And then he started talking about how much he had to work to get to the point where he was able to play in the NFL. And I specifically remember this because he was talking about just all the hours and all the effort that went into practice when the coaches were watching and then when the coaches weren't watching. And he was just emphasizing it takes a lot of work to get better. And during this time, he was kind of looking around, asking questions, and he asked me, of all the people, he said, how much do you spend each day getting better as a football player? And without hesitation, I said to him, about an hour or two a day. And I remember his response, and he just said to me, it's not enough. And then he moved on, and he went on to his talk. And in that moment, I realized I probably need to work harder if I'm going to get to the NFL. And obviously, I didn't get to the NFL, so I probably didn't work hard enough. But he also mentioned in that talk that talent only gets you so far. It takes a lot of work to get better at something. And so this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about work. We're going to talk about work not to get better at a specific skill in regards to sports or even your job. What we're going to do is we're going to talk about what it means for us to work out our own salvation, because that's what God calls for us to do. And so I want you to consider this morning at the outset of this message, how much time and effort do you put into your own salvation? How much time and effort do you put into growing in your faith? How much time and effort do you put into reading the Bible? How much time and effort do you put into praying? How much time and effort do you put into really growing in Christ's likeness? Because that's what this message is about. This message is about us growing in our faith. And if we're going to grow in our faith, what God teaches us from this passage is that we need to work hard at it. We need to put forth some effort into growing in Christ's likeness, because it's what he's called us to do. He's called us to be men and women who grow in our faith. And that doesn't happen by us just doing nothing. It happens by us working hard by the grace of God to grow in our Christ likeness. And so this is an important question for us to consider this morning. How much time, how much effort do we put into working out our own salvation? It's easy to neglect drawing near to God through prayer. It's easy to neglect drawing near to God through reading our Bible, and just run off doing whatever it is we want to do. And sometimes that's just pursuing whatever is easy, whatever's comfortable at the time. And then wake up one day, because we've neglected working out our own salvations, wondering why we lack passion and joy for the Savior. Or worse, we find ourselves entangled in sin that really threatens to destroy our lives, our marriages, our parenting, and our witness of the gospel. So church, this morning, God is calling us, really in a lot of ways, to get out of bed, to turn off the TV, and to say no to our own personal desires at times, and go to work, working out our salvation with fear and trembling, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find this call upon our lives right here in our text this morning, as we see Paul exhorting the Philippians to work out their own salvation. Now, as we explore this call to work out our own salvations, we're going to be taking a look at two points this morning. In our first point, we learned that we work out our own salvation by being committed to a long obedience in the same direction. Let me say that again. We work out our own salvation by being committed to a long obedience in the same direction. Verse 12 begins with the word therefore. Paul begins with the word therefore, really to direct our attention back to the gospel that he just informed us of in the verses that preceded this. And so it's important for us to also look back there as we're talking about working out our own salvation, because our work is really motivated and rooted in the grace of God. So let me read verses 5 through 11. It says this: "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Verse 12, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." What Paul is saying here is, since Jesus took the form of a servant and humbled himself by obeying the Father to the point of death on the cross for our sins, we can now and we should now obey the Father by working out our own salvation. And he's also saying, since Jesus has been exalted to the highest place, given the name that is above every name, meaning he has all authority, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess, and that includes us, that Jesus is Lord, therefore we would do well to live out our lives in obedience to him. Do you see Paul's logic here between the work of Christ and the life that we are called to live as Christians? Paul is not saying we are to work out our own salvation to earn our salvation. He's not saying work out your salvation to keep your salvation. He's saying work out your salvation because Christ died to save you. You are his, and because you are his, and because of the work that he has done on your behalf to save you, pick up your cross and follow him. Obey him. Work out your own salvation because he has done the greatest work for us. And following Christ, what it means is it means we obey him. Again, let me read verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What you need to know here is Paul is not an angry dad yelling at his kids to sort of shape up and obey. He's not an angry apostle or an angry pastor who's looking at his congregation saying, hey, you need to shape up. You need to grow in your faith. No, what he's doing is he's a father in the faith here coming alongside this local church with a lot of affection and a lot of encouragement, helping them to grow in their faith, helping them to move forward in their faith as they seek to grow in Christ's likeness. And so what he's doing is he's gently and kindly encouraging them to continue to obey Christ even when he's not present with them. Now, years ago, Sarah talked me into getting a trainer to work out. We had been attending this gym for a number of years, you know, and we were doing the same things over and over again. And the results really weren't that great, but we were being faithful to it as much as we possibly could. And I think maybe they were running the deal. And so we took a chance and we signed up for a trainer. And I remember the first session having this guy watch over us and lead us in working out. I remember it because I didn't finish it. I got about halfway through it, and then all of a sudden, everything started to go black. I remember just struggling to breathe and having to lay down on the floor and put my feet up on a machine. And I remember this moment because it was different. It was different having someone watch over me and hold me accountable to working out, helping me to do the right things at the right pace, because left to myself, I didn't always do the right things at the right pace. But when you brought somebody in who was present and was paying attention, it was challenging, and he held me accountable to do the right things at the right time with the right amount of effort, and the result revealed I was not in shape at all. And so I share that with you because there's a difference, and Paul's aware there's a difference. There's a difference when somebody's watching over you doing the work. There's an accountability there. And so when somebody's watching over you, you tend to do the right thing at the right time because they're going to be there to make sure you're doing the right thing at the right time. Well, Paul's aware that he's not always there with his church. He's not always there watching over these people. And so he's encouraging them that whether he's there or he's not there, they're still called to work hard at their own salvation. They're still called to obey Christ both publicly and privately. And so that's what he's really after here. He's encouraging them in the sense of, it doesn't matter if somebody's watching you or if somebody's watching you. You're called by God, and because of the grace of God at work in us, we're called to continue to pick up a cross and follow Jesus Christ. And so that looks like something. It looks like something. Obedience, it looks like us doing what Christ has called us to do. And I believe God's calling us to this today as well. Working out our salvation is a lifelong process of growing in our likeness to Jesus as we seek to follow him each and every day. And I would add, both publicly and privately. Let me share this quote from Walter Hansen, who has written a commentary on Philippians. He writes the following. He said, "It's a long obedience in the same direction, which the mood the world does so much to discourage. When the path of obedience to Christ becomes steep and dangerous, Pleasure seekers look for an easier way. Religious tourists hunting for sensational entertainment, instantaneous enlightenment, and emotional excitement will jump on the newest rides and take quick shortcuts. But they will not be found with pilgrims on the long, hard road following in the footsteps of Christ, who was obedient to death, even death on a cross. Paul's call to unflagging Christ-like obedience will not be popular in a world that so highly values fast and having fun and so quickly rejects enduring pain and submitting to authority. But the essential characteristic of the wise who build their community on Christ is their consistent obedience to Him. Working out our own salvation is a long obedience in the same direction. At times, the path to follow Jesus, it's going to be steep, as Walter Hansen says. It's going to be dangerous. There's going to be those moments when we think that nobody's watching us, nobody's paying attention to us, that we can cut a set short, or we can take a shortcut, or we can do something that's more comfortable than just obey Christ. We can take the easy road instead of the steep road or the dangerous road. But what Paul is calling us to is he's calling us to a long obedience in the same direction. And this direction that we're moving towards is Jesus Christ. As Christians, we are called to follow Him with fear and trembling. This simply means living with a sense of awe and reverence for Christ, knowing that each and every day we are living out our lives in His presence. The one who died to save us is also the one who is watching over us. The one who died to save us, who is watching over us, is the one who's going to come back again, and He's going to judge the living and the dead. And we're going to have to give an account to Him for how we lived out our lives. And so it's a long obedience in the same direction. And that direction is Jesus Christ. Just think about that for a moment. He sees everything. He knows everything. He pays attention to every detail. He is aware of it. And when He comes back, we're going to give account to Him for it all. It's kind of humbling, isn't it? I also think it's a little bit motivating. And I don't mean that a little bit. I mean a lot. It's a huge motivation. Jesus, He died to save us. He took our sins upon Himself and He went to the cross so that we would be forgiven and made His own. If you believe this and you call yourself a Christian, then the call here from the text is to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And you can do this with great faith, because in our next point, what we learn is that we work out our own salvation because we know God is the one who is at work in us. We work out our own salvation. We put forth this effort to grow in Christ's likeness, because ultimately we know that our effort is really rooted and grounded in the grace of God and our understanding that God has not left us, but He is the one who is at work in us. So look with me again at verses 12 and 13. Paul writes, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure." And so what we learn here is we work, we put forth effort because God is at work in us. Notice Paul doesn't direct us back to ourselves. He doesn't tell us to go to work pursuing Christ in our own strength. He doesn't leave us to kind of figure things out on our own. You see, God doesn't save us by grace, make us His own, give us this eternal life, and then abandon us to find our way in this world. He's not somewhere out there sort of watching over us, laughing at us as we try to navigate our lives through this world pursuing Christ. What we learn here is God is not a spectator. Our God, the creator of all things, the Almighty, is not a spectator in our lives. He's watching over us, but he's also at work in us. He's empowering us. He's the one who is changing us, and he invites us to participate in what he's doing in us. He is at work in us. He's not a spectator. He's a worker, or he's a spectator and he's a worker, because he is watching and he is doing. And so it's important for us to understand this, that our God is not just out there sort of laughing at us. He is at work in us, helping us to grow in our faith. And what this means is he's at work. He's shaping us. He's shaping our desires. He's giving us the power of his Spirit that's renewing us day by day and changing us and moving us along in this journey of faith as he prepares us to spend eternity with Christ in heaven, worshiping our Almighty God. See, if you're a Christian, what you need to understand and believe is that God is at work in you all the time. Jesus was forsaken on the cross so that we would never be forsaken by our Heavenly Father. Our darkest days, we're not alone. God is at work in us. When we find ourselves entangled in sin, we need to be reminded that our God is at work in us, and he is there to give us the strength to grow, to repent of our sins and pursue him. When we find ourselves afraid, we need to remember that our God is at work in us, helping us to move forward by faith. When we find ourselves shrinking back in fear at times when we're called to share the gospel with someone, we need to remember that our God is at work in us, giving us the things we need, the gifts we need, the words we need to speak the truth to neighbors. The question is, do you believe this? Do you believe that your God, our God, is at work in us? See, verse 13, it's meant to fuel our faith. It's meant to motivate us to live out our lives for the glory of Jesus Christ in obedience to Jesus Christ, even when the road is steep, even when it feels dangerous. Our God is at work. It tells us that when we step out in faith and pursue obedience to Christ, that he's at work guiding us, that he's at work empowering us, that it's him who is ultimately the one doing the work as we seek to work out our faith. William Taylor writes the following: "With God at work within us to will and to work for his good pleasure, we can afford to have a big vision as we work out our salvation with fear and trembling." Question: do you have a big vision to glorify God with your life? Do you have a big vision for what God can do with us as a local church? If God is at work in us and he calls us to work out our own salvation through obedience to Christ, I think we need to have a big vision for what our lives should look like, in the sense of what is he calling us to do? What does obedience right now to Christ look like in our lives? Husbands, what is a big vision for you in leading your family? You see, you've been called by God through faith in Jesus Christ to love your wife as Christ loved the church. What does that look like? What does obedience to Christ look like in this area? Wives, what does obedience to Christ look like for you as you seek to honor your husband, as you seek to help your husband? Parents, what does a big vision look like? What does obedience look like as you've been called by God to train up your children in the way that they should go? Are you doing this? You've been called to do it. We work out our own salvation through obedience to Christ. And so it's got to look like something. Obedience, it always looks like something. It looks like picking up a cross, denying ourselves, and doing what Christ has called us to do. And so what does that look like in your life? As you read through the scriptures, there's a number of commands, things that God has called us to do. He's called us to love one. He's called us to encourage one. He's called us to pray together. He's called for us to be his witness. He's called for us to just do certain things, to speak a certain way, to think a certain way. And all this falls under the banner of obedience to Christ. And so what I want us to do as a church, I want us to think about this. What does What does obedience to Christ look like, knowing that as we work, ultimately we understand that it is God who is at work in us for his will and for his good pleasure? And so let us think about these things. Let us take a step of faith. Sometimes it's hard. It's hard when you think about picking up a cross and obeying Christ Jesus. And so there's a sacrifice involved. It means death to ourselves. It means we're going to put pride to death, and we're not going to do what we always want to do. We're not going to pursue easy, but instead we're going to pursue the things that we have been called to pursue, the things we've been created to do, the things we've been empowered to do. And it takes a bit of effort, but we understand that this effort is ultimately rooted in the fact that it is God who is at work in us. And so if God is the one who's at work in us, let's get to work. Let's read through the scriptures. Let's prayerfully read through the scriptures privately. Let's prayerfully look through these scriptures publicly in the context of our community groups. And let's have a big vision for what God is calling us to do as he seeks for us to be faithful men and women who've been saved by grace, who pick up a cross and follow Jesus Christ. So let me encourage you in closing. Our God is at work in us. First, he saved us through faith in Jesus Christ. He sent his son to live in our place and to die on a cross for our sins. And he's given us faith. He's given us this great salvation in Jesus Christ. And since he's given this to us, he's also called for us to work out this salvation until Christ comes. We're called to look to Christ, to trust in Christ, to pick up a cross and follow Christ through obedience. And throughout it all, we understand that ultimately it is God who is at work in us. It is God who is giving us the strength to do these things. It is God who is ultimately the one who is changing us and who is moving us along as we journey in faith with Christ to the very end of this age. And so, church, get a big vision. Look through the scriptures. Pick one thing this week, one thing that Christ is calling you to do, one area of your life where maybe you've grown a little lackadaisical and you've stopped obeying him in that area. And I just want you to know that that's not uncommon. We live in a fallen world. Sin still remains in our heart. Our natural tendency is to drift. When we take our eyes off Christ, our natural tendency is to drift. It's to take a shortcut. It's to ease up. It's not to travel the steep and dangerous path at times. It's to really give into our flesh and do whatever it is we want to do. But what Paul is saying is, no, whether I'm with you or I'm not, obey Christ. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Don't put down your cross. Don't stop reading the word. Don't stop obeying Christ. But instead, continue to do these things. Do them in private. Do them in public. Because God is the one who's at work in you. He's changing you. And he's inviting us into this process to work out our own salvation. So church, in closing, be encouraged. Be encouraged that you have a God who is not just a spectator, but he is a worker, and he is at work in your life, and he is at work in our church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would you bless the folks listening to this message? Lord, would you pour out your spirit upon us? Would you help us grow in our faith? Lord, we want to be doers. We want to be men and women and children who are faithful to work out our own salvations with fear and trembling, trusting the entire time that Lord, this doesn't save us, but instead it's Christ who saves us, and trusting the entire time that, Lord, you are at work in us. As we work, you, Lord, you've been doing all the work and you're continuing to work. And so, Lord, you are empowering us and you are helping us. And so, Lord, please help us as a church to really believe this and to pick up our cross and follow Jesus Christ, Lord. Would you bless Sovereign Grace Church and our friends this morning in Jesus' name. Thank you for listening to this. May the Lord bless you. May he pour out his spirit abundantly upon you. And may you enjoy the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you.